And now back to the news, which Tim assures me will not include any more ghosts.
That's right, no ghosts. But we now have some diverse stories about local people and wildlife. The Evening News has recently had several articles about a surgeon at the Norwich and Norfolk University Hospital who has allegedly botched operations. Two MPs have called for his suspension pending an inquiry. A Dragon's Den star is in a stew over delivery of noodles. A hotel manager who worked to help the homeless has died shortly after feeding people on the street. Wasps have been given an unfair press, according to Norwich scientists. An eye-catching tower has been built at a hospital car park to encourage swifts to nest. And while we're on the subject of nests, four new peregrine falcon chicks have hatched in the nest on the Norwich Cathedral spire. Here's Alison with the first of these stories.
Two MPs have called for the suspension of a surgeon who mutilated several patients in a week, as it emerged he was told how badly he had damaged one patient 4 days before he went on to make the same mistake on another. It comes after this newspaper told how abdominal surgeon Camillo Valera, aged 43, botched the gallbladder operations of Paul Tooth, 64, and Lucy Wilson, 33, who have horrific life-changing injuries and are asking why he's still operating unsupervised at the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital. Norwich MP Clive Lewis demanded the NNUH apply the precautionary principle to prevent any other patients coming to harm, while Mid-Norfolk MP George Freeman said it was surely right that Mr. Valero be suspended pending the outcome of an investigation. The hospital has apologised and admitted liability, and Mr. Valero is under investigation by the General Medical Council. But he hasn't been suspended and continues to operate unsupervised, except in the case of laparoscopic gallbladder surgeries. Mr. Tooth of Dereham said he was left mutilated by the surgery and needs tubes out of his abdomen and up his nose to recycle bile for 6 hours a day. While Mrs. Wilson, who lives in Norwich, is now incontinent and in chronic pain after Mr. Valera wrongly sliced away their bile ducts and parts of their livers, rather than just taking out their gallbladders. Their cases and one other prompted the NNUH to order root cause analysis reports on three surgeries in 5 days by Mr. Valero last January. This newspaper understands the third patient had post-operative complications. But we can now reveal that 4 days before Mr. Valero butchered Paul Tooth's bile duct, he was told by a fellow doctor he had done the same thing to Mrs. Wilson's, but there was a miscommunication between the two. Lucy Wilson went under the knife on January the 22nd, 2020, and according to the hospital's root cause analysis report, by the following morning it became clear there had been a biliary injury with larger volumes of bile draining. So doctors used a tiny camera on a tube, an endoscope, to navigate through the bile duct to check it was okay. But the procedure could not be completed as expected because the bile duct had been severed. The report states, despite a conversation between surgeon B, Valero, and gastroenterologist A straight after the procedure, the surgical team regarded the result as a failed ERCP. Rather than appreciating the fact that the procedure had been successful and had indeed diagnosed complete transection of the bile duct. It concludes, there appears to have been a miscommunication between surgeon B, Valero, and gastroenterologist A regarding the result of the ERCP. 4 days after Lucy Wilson's endoscopy, Mr. Valero, who trained in Spain, made the same mistake of the older patient had even more devastating results. Mr. Freeman said, it is absolutely right that the GMC are conducting an urgent review, and surely right that the surgeon be suspended from carrying out surgery whilst the review is conducted. Accidents happen, but public trust is key, and patients have a right to expect the highest professional standards of care and precaution in cases of serious surgical harm like this. Mr. Lewis said, why on earth have they not applied the precautionary principle when there is so much that's questionable and potentially dangerous? Why are they going to such lengths to keep this doctor-surgeon working when the sensible thing to do would be to stop him working until the outcome of the GMC investigation? That would make absolutely sure that no other people run the risk of this happening to them. Last week, Medical Director Erica Denton said the two cases were extremely difficult specific incidents and defended the decision not to suspend Mr. Valero, saying no other aspects of his clinical practice are in doubt and that she would trust her colleague to operate on her own children. The Trust has improved its practices and is assisting the GMC with its inquiries.
A slow boat from China, now delayed in the Suez Canal, is causing a Norfolk food boss to fret over 100,000 packets of pasta. Ross Mendham, managing director of Bare Naked Foods, based in Acle, who famously obtained £600,000 from businessman Peter Jones in TV's Dragon's Den series, is in a pickle over his noodles. That's because a massive delivery is currently stranded in transit to the UK on the Ever Given ship, which got stuck for all the world to see in the Suez Canal back in March. Although the 400-metre-long vessel transporting 18,000 containers was freed, it was declared unsuitable for onward passage and has since been anchored in the canal. Mr. Mendham, who imports noodles for his dried pasta products from China, said, "There's no clear indication of when or even if the goods will arrive in the UK. During lockdown, sales have been good, so shortly we'll be in the position that we can't fulfil all our orders. Obviously, we've increased our orders with the factory and investigated the possibility of flying the goods in, but the costs are prohibitive." The situation developed further last month when charges started mounting for the cargo owners. Mr. Mendham said, "Not only is our delivery massively delayed, but now we're expected to cover the cost. Fortunately, we're insured, but there may be others who are not, and they'll be facing substantial costs." In the last few months, companies importing goods to the UK have faced massive increases in freight costs, substantial delays because of COVID, and chaos at some of the UK's major ports. So the situation with the Ever Given is yet another challenge to overcome.
A hotel manager who worked tirelessly to help the homeless in Norwich has died just hours after he was out feeding people on the street. Stuart Turner, aged 56, general manager of the Aspect Housing Hotel, formerly the low-cost NR2 venue in Norwich's Earlham Road, helped provide a sanctuary at the venue for 12 homeless people on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day last year. He had been out feeding the homeless just hours before he died at the hotel on April the 19th, just days before his 57th birthday. A statement released by Aspect Housing, which confirmed Mr. Turner's death, said he'd been instrumental in sharing his vision that no person should be homeless or vulnerable in Norwich. It added, "For his last act, on Sunday, April the 18th, Stuart spent his time feeding the homeless as part of a non-street team, a truly selfless lasting act for Norwich from a Norfolk man." Josh Sandel, a team leader at Aspect Housing Norwich, said, "I was originally homeless at 17 and joined Aspect as team leader at age 20. Stuart was my mentor, teaching me everything he'd learnt about working with people after 30 years on cruise ships. Stuart was a brilliant man. He was always so kind and took all the time in the world to help those around him and whoever needed it. I met Stuart in November 2020 when we started working together, and in such a short amount of time it felt like we'd known each other for years with all that we went through. He'd shown me a better way to live life, to always be happy no matter what, and to always give second chances. Stuart's death has made me realise never to take life for granted and to live life to the fullest, just like he did." Nicola Collier from the Anon Street team, a self-funded volunteer organisation which helps feed and clothe the homeless in Norwich, said, We first came across Stuart when EDP ran a story of Aspect offering rooms and food for Christmas 2020 to anyone in need. I reached out to Stuart and offered him the opportunity of attending a non-Christmas meal so he could meet some of those people who would benefit from the kind offer. He jumped at the chance, and we quickly realised we were kindred spirits, wanting to help anyone we came into contact with. In early 2021, Stuart and his ensemble began joining Anon every Sunday, cooking hot meals and sometimes hot desserts. He was a great networker, and sometimes the food would come from a local restaurant or takeout that he had charmed into assisting a good cause. He was larger than life. We didn't know him for very long, but he was out there making a difference every day, and his loss will be felt by many.
They might have ruined a fair few picnics and disrupted enjoyment of pints in pub beer gardens, but wasps deserve far more credit, say Norwich scientists. Whereas bees are prized for their roles as pollinators, University of East Anglia researchers say the reputation of wasps as pointless, irritating insects is far from fair. They say wasps are crucial predators, pollinators, and may even be of use in treating cancer. A study published in the journal Biological Reviews compiles evidence from over 500 academic papers to review how some 33,000 species of stinging wasps contribute to ecosystems and how this can help the economy, human health, and society. Ryan Brock from UEA's School of Biological Sciences said, "Alongside other insects, many wasp species are declining from factors such as climate change and habitat loss. As such, there's urgent need to address their conservation and ensure habitats continue to benefit from the far-reaching ecosystem services wasps provide." Lead author Professor Sirian Sumner from UCL's Centre for Biodiversity and Environment Research said, "Wasps are one of those insects we love to hate, and yet bees, which also sting, are prized for pollinating our crops and making honey. Wasps are understudied relative to other insects like bees, so we're only starting to properly understand the value and importance of their ecosystem services. We've reviewed the best evidence there is and found that wasps could be just as valuable as other beloved insects like bees, if only we gave them more of a chance. Wasps are top predators of other insects, playing a crucial role in stopping aphids and caterpillars from damaging crops. Researchers say they could be used as sustainable forms of pest control in developing countries, where farmers could bring in populations of a local wasp species with minimal risk to the natural environment. And with pollination by insects vital for agriculture, researchers found wasps visited 960 plant species, including 164 completely dependent on wasps. The review also said wasp venom and saliva has antibiotic properties, while yellowjacket wasp venom has shown promise in treating cancer.
An eye-catching tower has been built near the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital to encourage swifts to nest. The 7-metre-tall steel tower was designed and fabricated by award-winning sculptor Will Nash. It features 12 nest boxes to accommodate 24 swifts and their chicks. Commissioned by Norwich developers R.G. Carter, it is now in place on Rosalind Franklin Road at the entrance to the recently completed hospital multi-storey car park. An audio system has been installed to play pre-recorded swift calls to attract the birds to nest in the structure. The Sussex-based artist specialises in creating bespoke habitable sculptures. His other recent works around the UK have included a hollow stone structure with space for bats to roost in and a seat with habitat for bugs and small creatures. He said, "I was attracted to the project by the challenge of making an artwork that was also a viable habitat for a particular bird. Swifts ideally need a drop-off at least 6 metres from their nest, so the tower had to be quite tall. Swifts arrive back in the UK at the end of April to nest before they migrate in September through France and Spain to spend the winter in Africa. Their numbers are in decline, partly due to loss of habitat. As a species, they've evolved to rely on human architecture, in particular the eaves of houses, to nest in. But as we make our homes more airtight, they have fewer places in which to nest. A petition was recently launched calling for Norwich City Council to take into account nesting habits of swifts and other small birds in new housing developments. Some developments make use of swift bricks, specifically designed bricks with holes bored out, allowing just enough space for a swift or similar-sized bird to make a home. The Norwich Tower is constructed from birch plywood, but its exterior is larch, traditionally used for cladding houses. Mr. Nash said the shape of the tower was drawn from several sources, including the need to have multiple eaves. This resulted in an organic form with an ecological function.
Four new peregrine falcon chicks have hatched high above Norwich. The female bird of prey, which calls Norwich Cathedral spire home, laid her first two eggs of the season last month, and two more quickly followed. For the past 6 weeks, the parents have been incubating these eggs while their young prepare to make their grand entrance. Now all four hatchlings have entered the world in quick succession after the first made its grand entrance at 1:15 p.m. on Wednesday. The next came 7 hours later, while the final two were born the following day. Volunteers on behalf of the Hawk and Owl Trust have been keeping an eye on proceedings via webcams that have been streaming live for the world to watch on. The births come just a few days after the male peregrine had an unfortunate encounter with a hungry seagull when bringing home prey, a battle caught on camera by photographer Chris Skipper.